669.
Talk Live, your show, you take control of the airwaves, toll free, 800-259-9231. That's the Sickle CAI toll free line as we launch into another week of fun and excitement here on Free Talk Live. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com where the features are totally free. So enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. To start things out, the story we mentioned over the weekend, never got to, pretty disturbing. And it'll tie into another breaking news story from earlier today about privacy and what U.S. officials are saying privacy should come to mean these days. They want to change the definition of privacy. But first, to Los Angeles and a very disturbing story.
Can the government just go ahead and change the definition of words?
Well, sure they can, because, again, in the world of legal land, in the legal world, and that's where the government exists, okay? The government exists in the legal land.
Mm-hmm.
They can redefine whatever they want to. When they create laws, they have a definition section, usually. And it will redefine words that you thought you know what the definitions were. Now, the words still mean the same thing in real life, in the world we all live in. But in the government legal land, they mean something completely different. So we'll talk about privacy in a moment. But first, to Los Angeles, where civil rights advocates, according to the Associated Press, are criticizing plans, and rightfully so, by the LAPD to map the city's Muslim communities, calling it racial profiling. Now, that's sort of like the, I don't know, what is that, like a 90s and aughts buzzword that is being applied here? It may very well be racial profiling, but this is much more, I think, devious than just plain old racial profiling. I mean, in with the term racial profiling, you know, they're sort of playing the race card. Hey, you're only doing this because we're Muslims. Well, they're not mapping blacks and the Mexicans in Los Angeles, so, you know, it's not necessarily just that it's about race.
Well, I mean, it's about a particular race.
Yeah. It is racial profiling, but it's more reminiscent of what happened to the Jews in Nazi Germany or the Japanese people in America than anything else.
Well, let's hear the article, and I'll decide what it is.
The LAPD's Counterterrorism Bureau plans to identify Muslim enclaves in order to determine which might be likely to become isolated and susceptible to violent, ideologically based extremism.
How are they going to do this?
Well, you see, Mark, these are just their excuses for mapping the Muslims. I'm sure they had an excuse. You know, I don't think they mapped the Japanese people in the 1940s or was it the early 40s when they started picking up, or late 30s?
Early 40s. It would have been a lot of, very difficult at that time. They didn't
right.
have computers to do all the tracking.
Right.
But they did use census data to find these people.
They used census information. And I don't know what the excuse was in the beginning, but right now, essentially, they're coming out with reasons for doing this that are supposed to sound okay. In fact, they're going to make it sound like they want to work with the Muslims, that they're going to help the Muslims somehow. And
good.
It seems to me
help.
That this is just a first step on the way
Seven
towards
scariest words in the English language. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Right, exactly. It seems to me this is nothing more than the first step down the road toward eventually coming and rounding these people up. That's just the impression that I get. It seems like the first step that one would want to take if one wanted to do something like this.
Okay.
And these are government people, so I'd believe it if they did. Anyway, he says, we want to know where the Pakistanis, Iranians, and Chechens are so we can reach out to those communities. Doesn't it sound so nice? It sounds kind of almost warm and fuzzy. They want to reach out. Well, what are they going to do when they reach out? Are they going to reach out and grab their fathers and put them in detainment camps because they're suspected of possibly plotting against the United States? Downing says the plan's still in its early stages, but the LAPD wants to work with a Muslim partner and intends to have the data assembled by the University of Southern California's Center for Risk and Economic Analysis. So they want to find somebody who is a Muslim to help them out with their little plot. You don't think there would have been some turncoat Japanese or turncoat Jews in the early part of the 20th century that would have done similar jobs, right?
I'm sure there were.
Hey, just tell us where all your friends live, and we promise we'll go easy on you.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Downing testified about the plan before the Senate. In his testimony, he said the Bureau wanted to, quote, want to take a deeper look at the history, demographics, language, culture, ethnic breakdown, socioeconomic status, and social interactions of the city's Muslim communities. There are an estimated 500,000 Muslims in Los Angeles, Ocean and Riverside counties. On Thursday, several Muslim groups and the ACLU of Southern California...
Does the LAPD cover all of that? I can't imagine that they do.
I don't know. They mentioned all those counties, and this is the LAPD Counterterrorism Bureau.
Okay.
On Thursday, several Muslim groups and the ACLU sent Downing a letter expressing grave concerns about the program. Quote, singling out individuals for investigation, surveillance, and data gathering based on their religion constitutes religious profiling that is just as unlawful, ill-advised, and deeply offensive as racial profiling, said the letter. It was signed by the representatives of the ACLU. The plan basically turns LAPD officers into religious political analysts, while their role is to fight crime and enforce the laws.
Right. And, you know, that's really the problem here. Police are supposed to arrest people that commit crimes. These people haven't committed any crimes. I don't think the police should have anything to do with them.
Well, again, that's why you really have to ask the question, what is the real purpose of this? I mean, they're mapping Muslims in Los Angeles?
Well,
for the purpose of...
Here's the part I don't understand, is why is the local police doing this? If this is something to be concerned with, why isn't the Department of Homeland Security doing it, which I don't support at all?
Well, that doesn't mean it would be any better if the Department of Homeland Security
did it. No, it wouldn't be any better. It would be worse.
And you have to remember,
I'm just wondering.
Every police department, or most of them, especially the LAPD, is getting Department of Homeland Security money. So that may be what... some of the things they're spending their money on, you know, is doing something like this. For all we know, the idea was handed down from the Department of Homeland Security, you know, but they just don't have enough bureaucrats to do it, so they turned it over to the LAPD. That's just speculation on my part. But apparently the Muslim Public Affairs Council is considering working with the LAPD. Their executive director said, we'll work with the LAPD and give them input while at the same time making sure that the people's civil liberties are protected. Of course they're going to make it look right now like they care about people's civil liberties. They're going to do whatever they can to assuage this Muslim group into helping them give out this information about where people live. So of course it's going to look that way on the front, but there cannot be anything good about this idea. I mean, remember, the idea is to determine which Muslim enclaves might become isolated and susceptible to violent, ideologically based extremism. Well, okay, let's say you determine that. Then what? Okay, this little neighborhood here has got a bunch of Muslims in it, and we've determined it's susceptible to ideologically based extremism. Now what? So please, hypothesize for me. What's next?
It can't be good.
Well, now remember, over the weekend we talked about a story that said that there apparently is now, it's going to be legal, or the proposal's on the table. I don't know if it's gone through yet, but the proposal's on the table to make it so that the federal government can charge you with preventative detention. Which means that if they think that you're going to do something, i.e. become a violent, ideologically based extremist, that they can pick you up and put you in a jail cell. And then if you ever see the inside of a courtroom, it will be a special tribunal, a star chamber, a non-regular American court. It will be a special court that's a non-public trial and all that stuff.
Right, as though going to the court isn't scary enough and enough people get convicted of crimes that they likely didn't commit, now we're going to have new courts that are more likely to convict you.
So again, the idea that they're talking about having this preventative detention thing where you don't have to actually commit a crime. They just have to think you're going to. And then they put you into somewhere where no one can probably find you. That's something they're talking about doing at the federal level. At the same time, you have the LAPD saying, oh, we just want to know where all the Muslims live so we can determine which ones might become susceptible to violent, ideologically based extremism. That's all. Look, we just want to work with you guys. Does this seem as chilling to you as it does to me?
It seems chilling. You know, I wonder, first they do it to the Muslims, right?
Exactly.
And then they're going to do it to other people. I mean,
right.
What are they going to do with, you know, if they decide that the Michigan militia sorts are, they're scary.
What about
liberty
lovers?
Come after me?
What about liberty lovers who will obviously get very, very upset if they start rounding people up? Liberty lovers start going out and protesting, then they're going to need to target us, make sure that we stay quiet. More on the way. How do you feel about this? 800-259-9231. Wait till you hear what they think about privacy. Next, Free Talk Live. Are political uncertainties and a world spinning out of control keeping you from getting the restful sleep your body desperately needs? Researchers now know that insufficient sleep can lead to dangerous health problems, including immune system impairment. But before you reach for addictive pills, listen to this exciting news about a breakthrough in safe and restful sleep. A new product that generates deep sleep is now available and is remarkably simple to use. Just pop the sleep generator in your CD player and hit play. That's it. The new program uses sleep-inducing sounds called binaural beats. These scientifically engineered audio frequencies interact with the human brain in such a way that it almost forces quick, safe, and non-addictive sleep. It's just that simple. Created in a special sound lab in Lima, Peru, it seems to generate restful sleep when nothing else will. So if you're really having trouble falling asleep, go to highspeedsleep.com or call 877-327-0365. Remember, for deep, restful sleep, it's highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through a private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
How would you like to have a tool to use at home that you can use anytime that helps reduce back pain, sciatica, hip pain, and more? A tool that helps relieve the pain and doesn't just treat the symptoms. You need the Sacrowedgie Sacral Stabilizer. One satisfied user states, "I don't believe in gadgets, but this is a miracle." Yes, that's right. Just relax 20 minutes daily or when needed to help correct the muscle imbalance that creates many of these symptoms. Gravity does the work with the Sacrowedgie under the sacrum and support under your neck. Help correct posture to help relieve the pain. Better balance equals fewer problems. You can even sit on the Sacrowedgie at the computer or while traveling. This device has been helping people for the past 15 years, yet the cost is still just $29.95. Finally, something available that really relieves those stubborn aches and pains. Call 1-800-737-9295 for a free brochure or visit their website at sacrowedgie.com. sacrowedgy.com. That's sacrowedgy.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
It's your show. You can bring up whatever's on your mind toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you. And Mark, join us on our website, freetalklive.com. All the features for free, live streams there, broadband version of the show, and a dial-up version as well, both waiting for you for free at freetalklive.com. And your mattress was likely manufactured using all kinds of disturbing chemicals. Does this bother you? Well, it bothers some scientists, especially in the case of young children. SavvyRest mattresses are made of 100% natural latex rubber, organic wool, and organic cotton. Try those. their crib mattresses, too. SavvyRest.com for the sleep you've been dreaming of. That's SavvyRest.com. As we go right into the phone calls here, talk to Matt in Illinois on the Amplifier line. Hello, Matt.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
First off, I want to say that it was a year ago on November 11th that I first started listening to you guys.
Oh, that's so nice. Thanks for sticking around.
All right. I want to know, you were talking about Muslims being profiled.
Yeah, not only profiled, because, you know, again, to me, the term racial profiling just elicits the concept of a cop eyeballing cars as they're driving down the street saying, ah, black guy, I'm going to pull him over. This seems a little more severe than that. They're actually mapping where Muslims live, supposedly for the purpose of trying to figure out if they're going to be susceptible to ideologically based extremism. But this seems to me like a first step towards being able to confiscate Muslims at will.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. Susceptible to violent ideological extremism.
Yeah.
Would you consider a group of uniformed men with weapons who might want to make sure that authoritarians are obeyed violent extremists?
Yes, I would consider that,
and
yes.
Couldn't those very same Muslims be susceptible to those extremist violent tendencies?
You mean a Muslim working for the federal government or any state or local government?
Any Muslim. If those extremists suddenly decided that maybe they wanted to put them away somewhere.
Yeah, I can see that. So you're saying that if the extremists wanted to, I don't know, if they threatened them with you either join us or you go to a camp, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Well, we already know that they're giving people that are going to jail the opportunity to join the military instead, so I guess that's sort of similar.
So is the purpose of this mapping to find susceptible peoples so that they know where these susceptible peoples live because they might be able to target them more easily then?
It's an interesting question. Fine job on that one, Matt. Any other thoughts?
No.
Thanks, dude. 800-259-9231. This is very frightening to me. I'm not a Muslim, but you have to understand, Pastor Martin Niemöller said it best, to paraphrase, you know, first they came for the communists, then they came for the Jews, and then they came for me. And by that time, there was no one else left to defend me. I know that's a truncated version.
Very truncated, but yeah, I mean, that's essentially the concept. If you don't stand up for other people's freedoms, how the hell can you expect somebody to stand up for yours? I mean, you want people to come to your aid when right. you and your family's attacked, and, you know, you've got to stand up for other people's, too.
And there's also a suggestion in here. It's kind of subtle, but the suggestion is that Muslims are more likely to be susceptible to violent so-called extremism. Why is that? Wasn't the Oklahoma City bomber a white boy? I mean, I guess it could be white. There are white Muslims, but do you see my point? I mean, you can't just necessarily say, oh, well, those black people, they're in jail more often, so therefore they're more likely to be violent. That's not true. Not true at all. And are we targeting black people for that? No. That would be politically unpopular, but apparently
right.
there's nothing...
It definitely would be politically unpopular, but the statistics would bear you out when it comes to blacks, whereas with Muslims, I don't think that statistics necessarily would bear you out.
I don't know if statistics say that black people are more likely to be violent, Mark. I think they might show that they're more likely
to be, right, they're more likely to be put in jail for a violent
yeah.
crime,
right.
statistically. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's because they're black. I'm saying it's because they're put in jail for it.
But no one's going there. No one's proposing that they map black folk or you know, white trash or Hispanic people or anybody else that could possibly be dangerous. Everybody has the potential to be dangerous. Why don't we map high school students while we're at it? I mean, we've got these high school shootings. Male high school students should be on the map, too, while we're at it. I mean, they're dangerous, aren't they? See, do you see where I'm going here? Mm-hmm. Why are they just targeting the Muslims? Well, it's politically feasible. People will look at this article and say, yeah, you got to map those Muslims. They're dangerous killers. Well, no, they're not. Most Muslims are very peaceful individuals. Most Muslims don't follow a radical version of their sect. You know, they just,
and the ones that do likely wouldn't be following that radicalized version here in America if we weren't over there messing around in the countries that they're from.
Well, sure, that's the other that's the way to correct the situation is to withdraw the troops. Of course, Ron Paul's all about that, and that's another issue. But just the fact that this is going on, it's going on out in the open. You can see them getting ready to do these things. Now, does this mean that next year they're going to have camps and they're going to start putting Muslims in it? No, not necessarily. But they could, especially if they know where they all live. I want to know from you, am I overreacting here? Or am I seeing some indicators that deserve to be reacted to in this way, that deserve to be paid very, very close attention to? 1-800-259-9231. And I know that, I don't know if we're on in Riverside right now, but if we are on in Riverside, you guys are in the midst of all this. Please comment on this, 800-259-9231. In the meantime, let's talk about privacy, because they want to change the definition of privacy. According to the Associated Press, a top intelligence official says, it's time people in the United States change their definition of privacy. Can you believe this? Privacy can no longer mean anonymity, says Donald Kerr, the principal deputy director of national intelligence. Instead, it should mean that government and business properly safeguards people's private communications and financial information.
Hmm. Well, that's good. Now I feel better.
So, privacy, privacy, the new speak, I guess, right, shouldn't mean that you actually can keep anything anonymous. But what it should mean is that government should treat your private data very, very carefully.
Yeah.
You should trust government to protect you and protect your private information, which isn't really private information anymore because
government has access to it all.
But that's okay because government people are inherently more trustworthy than everybody else in the world, right? Oh, no. Wait, you're telling me that government people are just as crooked as anybody else? In fact, if not more so, because they have positions of power? Well, never mind all that nonsense. Kerr's comments come as Congress is taking a second look at the Foreign Surveillance Intelligence Act. Lawmakers hastily changed the act last summer to allow the government to eavesdrop inside the United States without court permission, so long as one end of the conversation was reasonably believed to be located outside of the U.S. The original law required a court order for any surveillance conducted on U.S. soil to protect Americans' privacy. The White House argued the law was obstructing intelligence gathering.
It's a pain in the butt.
Like, that Constitution, it's obstructing us, too. Let's get rid of it. The most contentious issue from the new legislation is whether to shield telecommunications companies from civil lawsuits for allegedly giving the government access to people's private emails and phone calls without a court order between 2001 and 2007. So that's what they're bickering about. They could care less about privacy going away. It's whether or not to protect the companies who are giving up your private information. More on the way. You can take control of the airwaves. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care and cardio maintenance. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by Jim Strauss after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. As a seventh-generation herbalist, Jim knew that there were herbs that had a long tradition of heart, blood, and circulation properties, and that there had to be another option besides going under the knife. Jim said no and began working on a formula to better himself and others. After he perfected the mixture of herbs and spices, he created Strauss Heart Drops. Get the Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.95. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you really can do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
In this jungle called life, only the tiger survives. So says the armchair survivalist Kurt Wilson, owner of Survival Enterprises. Kurt talks common sense about food storage, health care, firearms and weaponry, security, urban and wilderness survival techniques, and the simple things we can all do to help us and our loved ones survive when bad times hit. Learn to be one step ahead of the crowd in everyday situations. The armchair survivalist is geared for the rest of us who don't have unlimited funds.
funds to buy land, a cabin, build a bunker, or buy all the expensive survival supplies that would come in handy. He shows you how to work smarter, not harder. For over 25 years, Kurt has been helping people prepare for hard times. The Armchair Survivalist is sure to be an informative, entertaining, and educational talk show, with Kurt not only sharing his vast level of survival knowledge, but taking your calls as well. Listen to The Armchair Survivalist, Saturdays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on the GCN Radio Network.
Attention GCN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you're interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you'll ever hear. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies not only to relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to build damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. Now, because the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it. And right now, a small amount is available to my listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to 321relief.com. And the best part? My listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com or call 815-259-4552 for details.
Is your child protected for the future? Gerber Life Insurance Company offers you a way to help protect your child through its Grow Up Plan. It's a $5,000 whole life insurance policy that costs less than 20 cents a day. When your child is 21, that protection doubles automatically to $10,000 with no increase in premiums. So call now for your free information package.
Call 1-800-555-1212.
It's a free call for free information only. There is no obligation. Remember, any healthy child 12 and under is eligible to apply for the Grow Up Plan. When you decide to apply, no medical exam is necessary. Just answer a few questions. Help give your child a head start on the future today.
Call 1-800-462-0425 for your free information kit, the Gerber Life Grow Up Plan. Call 1-800-462-0425. That's 1-800-462-0425. Call 1-800-462-0425.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
On your mind, toll free, 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll free line. It's Ian here with you. And Mark, 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features there are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. We go right into the phone calls here, and we'll talk to William in Maryland. William, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to say something really quick about the Muslim profiling thing.
Yeah, really, Los Angeles Police Department is going to be mapping where Muslims live.
Yeah, there's a really interesting statistic that a lot of people bring up profiling of Muslims. One thing I think it's important to recognize is according to the National Counterterrorism Center, only about 1/3 of all terrorist attacks are motivated by Muslim groups. Another third is by secular groups. And the last third, they don't even know what they're motivated by. So the odds that, like, this mapping thing will help them find any kind of terrorist is like a billionth of a percent.
Yeah, I don't believe for a moment that's the purpose of this program. It seems to me to clearly to be the first step on the road to harassing Muslims even further, possibly even detaining them without any cause whatsoever, simply for being Muslims in the wrong place.
Where is this happening, you said again?
Los Angeles.
No, who's the person in charge that's setting this up, that's doing this?
The LAPD's Counterterrorism Bureau.
It sounds to me like they're just trying to impress somebody, like they're just trying to, like, let people, I guess, I don't know, sort of feel more confidence in them or something.
That could be a factor, but again, you know, I mean, if you look at some of the history, what's it, the Tutsis, Mark, in Africa? The Tutsis,
yeah.
And the Hutus?
The Hutus were trying to wipe out the Tutsis.
Right, so what they did was they started putting identification as far as what they, were those religions or
those are
ethnic
tribes?
Okay, they started putting tribal identifications on people's ID cards. And
that way you don't have to be able to read, in fact, to be able to tell who is a Hutu and who's a Tutsi. You just have to see the little stamp, the little symbol, and you mow them down with a machine gun.
Right. I don't know what their purported... I don't know what their purported reason for doing that was at first, but you can guarantee they didn't tell everybody, hey, we're putting these on here so we can slaughter you later. But that's what they did with it.
Well, yeah, after 9/11, they had Muslims in camps in New York and New Jersey, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had a few thousand, and like they eventually got rid of them all. They either deported them or charged them with something. And nobody really knows what happened to, like, the thousands of them that, you know, when they just disappeared.
Yeah, that's pretty frightening.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other thoughts? You said the statistics were that a third of these terrorist acts were committed by Muslims. When's this?
No, I don't believe he said it was a third. It was less than
that. Yeah, it was a third. But the thing is, though, is it's very low, though. The total number of terrorist incidents across the whole world.
Right, and
is, like,
the chance that's going to happen to you, yeah.
Yeah, and most of them are in Iraq, too.
Now, when's the time frame on it? I mean, from when to when?
What do you mean?
Well,
is it all of them in
the last 200 years? Or
no, I think just the last year for 2006, I think.
Okay.
It's on nctc.gov.
I'll go there.
Very good, yeah. William. Any other thoughts?
No, that's all.
Thanks for the call, dude. 800-259-9231. Since we're talking terrorism, let's talk about suitcase nukes. You've heard about them.
They are scary.
They sound scary.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is, right, that somebody could sneak this into the country easily and then blow up all sorts of things with their nuclear powers in a suitcase. But according to the Associated Press, members of Congress have warned about dangers of suitcase nuclear weapons. Hollywood has made television shows and movies about them. Of course, it's sexy and dangerous.
Yeah.
Even in the Federal Emergency Management Agency has alerted Americans to a threat. Information the White House includes on its website. But government experts and intelligence officials say such a threat gets vastly more attention than it deserves. These officials said a true suitcase nuke would be highly complex to produce, requiring significant upkeep and cost a small fortune. Counterproliferation authorities do not completely rule out the possibility that these portable devices once existed, but they don't think the threat remains. Vahid Maji, the assistant director of the FBI's Weapons of Mass Destruction Directorate, says, if you're somebody who thinks the government's credible, certainly the government contradicting its own claims is interesting nonetheless. The suitcase nuke, he says, is an exciting topic that really lends itself to movies. No one has been able to truly identify the existence of these devices.
Hmm. We've actually reported on this, that I said that, you know...
Really?
We have.
This is news to me.
I keep an eye on suitcase nukes because they scare the crap out of me.
Okay.
And
apparently they shouldn't because they don't really exist.
Yeah, that's what people are more and more saying, is that supposedly these suitcase nukes were something thought up by the KGB and not really aren't around.
But somebody put the bug in someone's ear who was in a position of power, and they started talking about them, and now people believe in them. Hollywood has seized on the threat. For example, the Fox thriller 24 devoted its entire season to Jack Bauer's hunt for suitcase nukes in Los Angeles. And that sort of thing scares people, because people think that, you know, they think that Hollywood does research on these sorts of things, and, well, if they say if Jack's searching for a suitcase nuke, then they must exist. Maji and other government officials say the real threat is from a terrorist who doesn't care about the size of his nuclear detonation and is willing to improvise using a less deadly and sophisticated device assembled from stolen or black market nuclear material. One senator said at a hearing that he thought the least likely threat was from an intercontinental ballistic missile.
Yes, that's very unlikely.
Perhaps the most likely threat is from a suitcase nuclear weapon in a rusty car on a dock in New York City, he said, but that's just a senator. What the hell does he know?
They don't pay attention.
Yep. In a FEMA guide on terrorist disasters on the White House's website, the agency warns that terrorist use of a nuclear weapon would probably be limited to a single smaller suitcase weapon. The strength of such a weapon would be in the range of the bombs used during World War II. The nature of the effects would be the same as a weapon delivered by an intercontinental missile, but the area and severity of the effects would be significantly more limited. So essentially what you have here is some government agencies saying that these could exist and others saying, nah.
Never happened.
Not very likely. They've never actually seen them. No one has ever produced a working example of a suitcase nuke. Interesting. So maybe it's not something you should really be scared of.
I'm concerned about terrorists getting little pieces of them, too. You know, setting up a larger device that they don't care about. But how are they going to do it?
I am a little more concerned about the government than the terrorists. It seems to me that there's a very, very low chance that any of us will ever encounter a terrorist strike in any way, shape, or form. whereas we're 100% likely to encounter government-sponsored violence or government threats of violence. Every time you pay your taxes, you're being threatened with violence. So it seems to me that the real terrorists that we really need to be concerned with are the ones calling themselves government. 800-259-9231. Let's go to Dave in Ohio, listening on WAIS. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. There's other forms of profiling that they do mental illness. They profile people with mental illness.
Yep.
Do they actually put them on a map?
Not that I know of.
Now, who is they? Which people in government are doing this?
The police, the government.
So, like, people that get Baker acted or they get reported as having possible mental problems, they get notes taken in their file, that sort of thing?
Yep, they do. You can't buy a gun if you have a mental illness.
That's true. They certainly are. They certainly restrict people with mental illnesses, that's for sure, but I can't see it being politically feasible to go around and round up all the autistic boys and put them into camps.
Right.
Now, Dave, I certainly am not the one to say that people's right to keep and bear arms should be infringed. But I gotta wonder about this people with mental illnesses buying guns. Now, I'm a convicted felon, and there's plenty of people out there that think it's a great idea not to allow me to buy a gun, and I think I should be allowed to buy a gun.
Mm-hmm.
I should be allowed to protect my family, just like anybody else does. But can you sort of defend that whole mental illness, not buy a gun thing?
They think that someone might go post a weapon.
Mm-hmm. And that is what they think. Dave, thanks for the call. 800-259-9231. I'll defend it. First of all, it's supposed to be a free country, and so therefore, if you want to restrict people with mental illnesses from buying weapons, then that means you're going to have to crack down on private gun sales. Because if we get together, Mark, and I don't know you, and you're crazy, and I've got a gun to sell, and you look normal, because people with mental illnesses don't always... So you look normal, you sound normal, I'm going to sell you the gun, and then all of a sudden, you've got the gun. So, putting restrictions is just going to make it so that legit gun sellers, the ones with storefronts and that sort of thing, just have more paperwork to do, more background checks, and more difficulty for the rest of us to buy guns.
Sure, anybody could go online and buy one through one of those eBay gun sites.
Are there such things? More coming up. This is Free Talk Live. Formaldehyde, boric acid, styrene, butadiene, TDI. These are just some of the chemicals used to make conventional mattresses. Is this what you want to be breathing every night? Scientists worry about these chemicals' effects on the developing brains of children, but they're not good for anybody, especially people with allergies. Latex mattresses made by Savirest are made of natural latex rubber with no off-gassing chemicals, and dust mites can't live in them. Go to Savirest.com and buy a latex mattress today. Savirest.com for the sleep you've been dreaming of. You cannot truly appreciate the beauty of a Silver Liberty dollar until you hold one in your hand. The way it catches the light, the heft of an ounce of silver, and the profile of Lady Liberty as she ponders a future bright with hope. That hope starts with the Liberty dollar. In just a few short years, over 20 million Liberty dollars are in circulation, with more than 100,000 people using the currency on a daily basis. Go to libertydollar.org. Stop being ripped off. Start using the Liberty dollar and return America to value, $1 at a time. Call 888-LIB-DOLLAR and visit libertydollar.org.
America is the fattest nation on the planet. The obesity epidemic kills over 300,000 Americans each and every year, and this number continues to rise at an alarming rate. With fast food chains everywhere, eating right is not an easy task. It's time to stop eating those unhealthy meals and fattening snacks. Assure that you and your family do not become a statistic. Introducing the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator brings healthy eating to a whole new level. The Excalibur Dehydrator preserves fruits, vegetables, fish, and beef quickly and easily. The Excalibur Dehydrator is perfect for vegetarians, vegans, and those who want to cut out the unnecessary salt, fat, and preservatives in most foods found at the grocery store. Gardeners, you'll love how much time and money you'll save making your own herbs and spices from your own kitchen. Hunters, keep your cash and make your own jerky from home. It's amazing all the uses you'll find with your new Excalibur Dehydrator. Call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Or go to drying123.com. That's drying123.com.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing GCN listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Attention, this is an urgent GCN financial bulletin. Have you ever wanted to make a lot of extra cash in a way that requires very little money to get started? If so, and you have a high-speed internet connection, this may well be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. You can now get a free DVD that reveals how to make more money than any sane person can possibly spend, and do it while working part-time at home with your computer. The new DVD shows how to earn money with no employees, no rent or other overhead, and the best part is that you don't have to go into debt to get started. It's extremely easy to get this home business up and running. And if you work smart, you can start earning money in a very short period of time. The DVD is free. However, you must pay a small shipping charge. To get your DVD, simply call 888-213-1455. That's 888-213-1455. If the line is busy, please keep trying to call back. That number again is 888-213-1455.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. The features on the site for free, so enjoy those on us, including, oh gosh, everything. The bulletin board system, archives, wiki, updates, live streams, all there. We give it away. But if you like the show, go and shop with us at store.freetalklive.com. Great Free Talk Live branded merchandise just in time for the holiday season. Check it out, store.freetalklive.com. Do you need a new computer but just don't seem to have money or have the money or credit to buy one? MyPCCredit.com is your answer. Finance top quality new computers and laptops and hundreds of other electronics. There are no credit checks and no turndowns. If you're 18 years or older and have proof of income, you're approved. Prices start from just $22 a month. So go to MyPCCredit.com and finance your new computer today. That's MyPCCredit.com. So I said earlier in this hour that I thought that it was government that was the real terrorist. And that's, you know, that's a claim that's actually pretty easy to be backed up. I mean, it's governments, not terrorists, that have been responsible for the killing of millions of people in the 20th century alone. In fact, I believe government is the number one unnatural cause of death, as a matter of fact.
Well, if you label it that way. And I mean, I would agree with you that governments certainly have gotten out of control. I would say that our government's getting out of control.
Right. And I frequently and previously have suggested the solution to the problem is to, well, simply get rid of it. Now, we don't have to do it all in one fell swoop. And I like what Ron Paul said. Ron Paul's very good, by the way, at not positioning himself as some radical, heartless libertarian. Whenever somebody asks him, well, you want to get rid of welfare? He says, no, I think we should take care of the dependents and then allow everybody else to opt out. And like with Social Security, keep paying the people that expect it and they feel like they need it, but let everybody else say, see ya. I really think that's a very diplomatic approach on his part.
And one that'll work.
Get him a lot of votes. But I think eventually we really just need to forget about this whole federal government idea and allow states to secede from the union and allow them to just go on their own way and do their own thing. And I think that would be very beneficial. And in fact, I'd like to point you to some evidence that people can actually get along without government. Now, we've talked about Somalia before, and everybody will derail that as being, well, the third world, and you don't really want to live in Somalia, do you? No, I don't.
But it's true that they don't really have much of a government to speak of there, and things are going along just fine. In fact, their quality of life has been consistently improving since they threw off their government, and it's really only the UN's fault for continuing to try to foist new governments on the Somali people. They're the ones that are funding the warlords. They're the ones that the warlords are fighting over, trying to get in charge of a new government again. So all the violence and awfulness that's happening down there is a result of new governments attempting to be imposed upon a people that doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Now, the violence is not to be seen in Belgium, at least not yet. I guess the UN hasn't been trying anything in Belgium quite yet. But according to the Telegraph in the UK, 5 months have gone by in Belgium since elections failed to produce a government. And many Belgians are beginning to feel that life might just be better without politicians. The Belgian state is experiencing its worst political crisis for 177 years as it marks 149 days of failure to produce a coalition government after elections on June 10th. But life has continued as normal for most people as the protracted negotiations and squabbling between 11 Francophone Walloon and Dutch-speaking Flemish political parties drags on and on. On her way home through a bustling Brussels rush hour, 27-year-old Nadine van den Bosch wondered what Belgium's political class is for. She said, We may have gone without a government for a record time, but nothing has changed. People still go to work. We pay taxes. Not sure who they're paying it to. Maybe they have, like, state governments.
Yes,
there.
The bureaucracies are probably still around. It's just that there's, you know, like, no legislature.
The metro runs on time. If they aren't careful, they'll realize that we Belgians don't need them, she said. Others are angry. Mark Voters, a local government worker, expresses his fury with a crisis that has tarnished Belgium's image. He says, What is the point of elections if 149 days later we have no government? Every Belgian feels empty, confused, and angry that we are ridiculed internationally. Well, I'm not ridiculing you. I, in fact, would like to give the people of Belgium a round of applause for actually being able to successfully live without mommy government standing around doing, you know, passing new laws and new regulations and doing the things that governments do. Now, according to these people, everything's going just fine. In fact, he said, even this government worker says, who needs these politicians? Great question. Who does need them? Hardening divisions.
Apparently they don't.
Between Flanders in the north and the southern region of Wallonia are making it more and more difficult for Belgian politicians to form new governments and has thrown the future of Belgium itself into doubt. So what they're talking about is there might be some sort of split. It may end up being two countries, that sort of thing. But hey, 150 days, no government, everything's fine. Things to make you go, hmm. Tensions between Dutch speakers, who make up 60% of Belgium's population of 10.5 million, and French speakers have given rise to an electoral system organized along rigid regional and linguistic lines. One Flemish postman, who did not want to be named, argued that while most ordinary Belgians took a live-and-let-live attitude, politicians elected on Flemish or Walloon ethnic criteria are in the business of talking up differences. Funny. Well, we don't have any governments that try to highlight differences between groups of people and pit them against one another, do we?
That's what governments do, I'm afraid.
Yeah. He says, after 27 years in my job with a perfect record, I was told I would stay on the same grade unless I could prove I was bilingual and fluent in French. There was no problem, but the politicians made one. Ordinary Belgians understand each other. I think it's the politicians who are speaking a completely different language. 800-259-9231. So, no federal government to speak of in Belgium, and they're doing okay. Let's try that here. 800-259-9231. Let's go to Fetus in Kentucky. You're on Free Talk Live, Fetus.
Hello.
Hey, what's on your mind?
I was wanting to talk about promiscuity and monogamy in America in open relationships.
Okay. Okay, shoot.
I believe that promiscuity and open relationships are okay as long as both parties agree.
Well, I believe that's the definition of an open relationship, is that both parties have agreed to that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I believe in monogamous relationships myself.
Mm-hmm.
With guys in animal suits.
Yeah, that's me.
Now, So I you know, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of contention here. I would say that most people say, well, if you want to sleep around and it's okay with your partner, then I guess you can. Chances are, you know, not bad that you could catch some kind of disgusting little disease and bring it back home, though.
Yeah, that's where the tricky part is with the, you know, the open relationship concept. If you aren't being really, really careful with who you're sleeping with,
and how you're sleeping with them,
in that, A, you have to get testing done, B, continue to be honest on all sides, so you've got your main relationship that you've got going on, and then somebody else wants to go and break off and see another person, then, you know, you have to trust everybody to be honest. And the more people you bring in, the more difficult that becomes, the more likely lies will be told, and then the more likely you'll encounter an STD or something like that. So I'm with you. I agree with that, you know, monogamy certainly is the safest road.
Yeah, I agree fully. Bringing in a third party always complicates relationships.
Absolutely.
But although it does have its merits, say you're unhappy in your relationship, I hate to play devil's advocate, but it does have its merits. If one party is not getting what they want in an open relationship, they can get what they want.
Sometimes. This is true, and it could also theoretically make the other party wonder, you know, well, what have I done wrong? And hopefully if they're on still good enough terms to discuss that sort of thing, maybe that would give the other party an opportunity to make it right. Though then again, I mean, the term open relationship can have different meanings. Technically, I am in an open relationship, but it's not open in that my girlfriend and I are going around having sex with other people. Neither of us are interested in doing that whatsoever. But we do have an interest in honesty, and in that if somebody is disappointed with the other person, or if, you know, if there is a something that's lacking in the relationship, instead of just going out and remedying it by having sex with someone else, which is what seems like a lot of couples do that are in so-called monogamous relationships, it's called cheating, that, you know, we would instead discuss it and talk about it, and then, you know, if someone still felt the need to go out and I don't know, have sex with someone else, they would be able to by the agreements in the relationship. So I don't know if it's truly an open relationship, but it's somewhere in between what most people have and an open relationship.
Well, I mean, it's just a relationship that's designed to foster communication. I don't know that I would call it an open relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, Fetus?
Well, they don't have three-way marriages. They don't have three-way marriages for nothing. I mean, they don't have them.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Well, they're polygamous.
Mm-hmm. Sure, there's lots of
six-way marriages.
We've had all kinds of, you know, multiple marriages out there in the course of human history. And if you go out to Arizona or Utah or that general vicinity, you're liable to find some here in America.
And you know what? It should be legal. Those folks should be able to get together into those. If you want to live with, you know, 10 women or 10 men, whatever, man, whatever floats your boat, it's your life. You should be free to do it. Thanks for the call, folks. More on the way. Hour 2's coming up. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
Oh, what a beautiful day for the beach. Look, up there in the sky. It's Non-X Man. He's in a dive. He must have found some ugly toenails on the beach. Let's go look.
I'm Non-X Man, and your toenails need Non-X Nail Gel. Stop hiding them in the sand. Take them out. Let's see.
Ooh. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't worry. Now there's Non-X Nail Gel. Use it on your toenails regularly, and they'll look fantastic when you're barefoot.
Oh, I will, Non-X Man.
Well, I'm off to find more ugly toenails. Don't let Non-X Man find you with unsightly toenails. Buy diabetic-friendly, money-back guaranteed Non-X Nail Gel. It's in the foot care aisle at Supercenters, Walgreens, CVS, Longs, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Car Drug, Snyder's, Duane Reade, Bylow, and Rite Aid.